we consider to be different from us. We all have those people in our lives, maybe even in our homes, and even within our church. I mean, there are something like 27 churches in Tamworth. What does that tell you? At the assembly of the Uniting Church, we were trying to figure out exactly what it means to do life and live out our faith in community and unity with each other, with those people we agree with and those we don't. Those people being us, being vulnerable, gifted sisters and brothers in Christ, seeking equal status and acceptance, not from God, for that has already been given in Christ Jesus, but from his people, us. First Nation sovereignty was sought by those people who have endured injustice and discrimination. Those people who have experienced and live with domestic violence, believing it is God's will, and needing assurance that the scriptures do not support domestic violence. Those people who feel judged and unloved by their sisters and brothers for seeking same-gender marriage, and those people who have difficulty accessing our buildings and hearing the message, or judged for their disability. And those people who yearn for their islands and homes to not disappear due to climate change and seek our help. And some of those people interpret the Bible differently, worship and pray differently, interact with their family differently. Difference is uncomfortable and confusing for many of us, especially when we feel threatened or that our faith is threatened, we believe. We like to associate with people that think like us and believe what we believe. We like to stay in our comfort zone. I like to stay in my comfort zone. When we meet someone that believes differently, we can become disturbed, angry even, and feel it is our job to defend our God and our faith. And so it is, if it leads to further study and reflection, that's a good thing. It's okay to express a different view in a loving, careful manner. It's also okay to hang out with people of differing views and listen to them and have a conversation. It's inappropriate to presume, though, that those who profess Jesus as Lord are unchristian if they don't agree with us. The temptation is then to build protective walls of avoidance or walls of ignorance in not bothering to investigate and solve conflicts together. We can become entrenched and reactionary in our own views, making things worse. Others' views, whether political, theological, or lifestyle, are not the enemy. Those people, whoever they are for you, are not the enemy either. I read an American Christian's sad claim that, and I quote this, "As someone who is new to corporate worship, I honestly and naively had no idea that asking questions about interpretation or biblical theology would upset people. I had no idea there was so much infighting, hostility, and bickering in the body of Christ over doctrinal statements, theological differences that aren't foundational issues centered on Christ, and Bible study. I was intimidated away from approaching fellow Christians face to face on these questions and felt very alone. Christians should be able to talk about the Bible and debate different biblical questions without getting upset or questioning the condition of one another's souls. Rigid doctrine leaves people alone in a desert, and it's the norm. That's not okay. That's the end of the quote. I thought that was interesting. And the church is often known for how we tell people if they are in or out. If we are known for being about hate, we are doing something wrong. Some non-Christians call Christians self-centered and judgmental and unwilling to develop friendships with those that think differently, while some Christians will say we need to point out sin. There is a loving way and an unloving way, and there is God's timing and way, and there is our way. In the 90s, author Philip Yancey met Bill Clinton. I wonder how that'd go meeting Donald Trump, you know. Who told him, so this is a quote from Bill Clinton, "I've been in politics long enough to expect criticism and hostility, but I was unprepared for the hatred I get from Christians. Why do Christians hate so much?" So that's a quote in the 90s from Bill Clinton. And while I know none of you are like that, and I can honestly say that, we all know some Christians that tend to get obsessed about telling people who's in and who's out, who God loves and whom he doesn't, despite that God has made it very clear whom he loves, and that's everyone, that's the world. Jesus is for all people. That person that you cannot stand, that has those views that just get under your skin, that person is someone Jesus died for. That person is someone Jesus said, "I love you and I want you to be in." So we are told to live in community with people that are different to us. And our text today brilliantly outlines why. Paul reminds us all that at one point in our lives we were all without God, lost in our mistakes and sin, and without hope. But then Jesus entered the picture and everything changed. Our mistakes, both intentional and unintentional, kept us from being in relationship with God. But Jesus took the consequences of our sin upon himself. And because of that, we went from being far from God to being near. Previously, Gentile access to God was through Judaism. Before Jesus, access to the presence of God was limited to a chosen few. Even the design of the temple demonstrated limited access. Heavy curtains separated the Holy of Holies from the common folk. Physical and religious walls blocked entrance and participation by Gentiles. Everything screamed exclusiveness and restriction. Many limitations applied to both Jew and Gentile. And Jesus Christ changed all that. Now, our access is through Christ and by one Spirit. Now, all who embrace Jesus Christ are granted equal status. We are together citizens, together the children of God. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups, Jews and Gentiles, blending into a new humanity as his church. In Galatians chapter 3, we read, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise." Jesus eliminated the basis of all prejudice. And so Jesus' sacrifice on the cross goes a lot further than just a get out of hell free card. Paul is telling us that not only do we no longer have to suffer the eternal consequences of our sin, but also the things that used to keep us apart from one another, The things that we used to fight about that divided us, our differences, our opinions, our lifestyles, all those things no longer divide us. Jesus put to death on the cross our hostility toward each other. Because of what Christ did on the cross, you and I can live at peace not only with each other, but with those people too. These are the walls that Jesus tore down when he died on the cross. Christians aren't called to think the same, believe the same, even vote the same. But we are called to live in community, in unity of love and fellowship. When it comes to your family, your friends, your co-workers, do people see how you can live at peace with people that are drastically different from you? Can you live at peace with those that might not be like you? When you look around your circle of friends and colleagues, do they all look like you, vote like you, act like you, and think like you? That can happen over time, can't it? When we live in community with those that are different than us, we show a little bit of heaven to those around us. When we fail to do this, we still tell others something about heaven, about God, it's just not accurate. We might not be able to change how others are living, and that's not our job, but we can do everything in our power to live at peace with those in our life. We can make sure that what others see in us points them back to the sacrifice Jesus made, and that's what allows us to live at peace together. Loving our neighbour, loving our brothers and sisters in Christ as ourselves. I'd been invited months ago to speak at St. Peter's Homemakers Group, and that was on last Wednesday. They asked me to speak about my life journey, which had included time at St. Peter's, and about six faces were still familiar from 35 years ago. Pretty amazing. And it was an amazing time, and I was so well received. It was a real blessing. They really listened. In conclusion, I was asked about assembly. And I confessed to them, I wondered if they would cancel my invitation as a result of the same gender marriage results. They said, no, of course not. And I went on to explain the process briefly and how hard the decisions were with many differing views. I explained that after study and reflection for more than 3 years by the Assembly Standing Committee, they had come to the conclusion that both for and against views on same gender marriage could be supported theologically. I mentioned the letter of the law as against the spirit of the law and the inclusiveness of God's love. And I'm really not sure what else I said. But thanks to God, it was well received, and they thanked me for summarising the process and our desire for our differing views to be held together. I was probably remembering this church as it was in my perceptions 35 years ago, and forgetting God's Spirit is moving and evolving in all his people, even those people, including these wonderful women, just as he has been in me. Recognising that every person is someone God loves helps us put aside differences and enter into community. People more than ever are looking at this church and they are trying to figure out if this Jesus is worth following. And the way that we act, the things we say, the way we handle conflict is telling people something about God. What do we want those outside the church to see about Christ's church? It was a great opportunity for me to see our Uniting Church in the assembly meeting, and I thank you for all supporting me to attend. Those people are us. And they were from all over Australia, city, country, different ages, cultures, genders, sexuality, theological interpretations and conclusions. And yet, All were united in acknowledging Jesus as Lord. May God's abundant grace and liberating hope be expressed in us, that we might be a blessing to all. Amen.